Thursday, September 26, 2024. Welcome back, everybody, to For the Numbers, presented by FTNFantasy.com. My name is Adam here on the massive, huge, in-depth, game-by-game breakdown for Week 4 in the NFL. Kicks off tonight with a matchup between the Cowboys and the Giants. So, if you are new, first of all, where you been? Subscribe, rate, review. Check out FTNFantasy.com for all the amazing content, rankings, tools, data, projections, everything. But if you're also new to this podcast, each week here on Thursday, we go as in-depth as possible, breaking down every single game from a fantasy football aspect. And it applies to everything too, right? That's why I love doing it, because you can use this to help set your fantasy lineups for redraft, for dynasty, for DFS, for betting purposes. Because what we're doing is breaking down the games, finding out who stands out, who has good matchups, who has bad matchups, and avenues to attack. So grab a beverage, grab a snack. It'll be a little bit, but my favorite podcast of the week. I love breaking down every single game from every single lens, right? Of course, this podcast, once again, brought to you by Circa. 3 weeks in the NFL, things have been crazy. I mean, we have all these upsets. Raiders beating Baltimore, the Bengals losing at home to the Commanders and the Patriots. So it's been tough for the Circa Survivor and Circa Millions contest, but still plenty of time to get in on the action. Sign up today at circasports.com or enter in Las Vegas. Just make 5 picks against the spread each week. Sounds easy. It's not, but it's fun. Circa, we appreciate everything that you do. Check it out, circasports.com for more details. Let's get into it. Let's break down these games. Starting with the Cowboys and the Giants, this game is in MetLife. Is Dallas' defense going to show up? That's my question for today, and I think they probably will, but I don't know if it's going to be the run defense, because this run defense is bad. We saw what Derrick Henry did last week. We saw what Alvin Kamara and company did the week before. So yeah, I like Devin Singletary, and you're talking to the number one Devin Singletary fan probably on the planet, so I still think he's the most underrated running back in the NFL. The data backs it up too. Devin Singletary right now is second among all qualified running backs in avoided tackle rate at 38%. He's fourth in yards after contact per attempt at 3.7. Averaging 17 touches per game, he's playing about 72% of the snaps. And now he's got the Cowboys, who they're allowing 2.3 yards before contact per attempt. That's the sixth worst in the NFL. 3.1 yards after contact per attempt is fourth worst. And a 26.2% avoided tackle rate is fourth worst. Talk about it all the time. They don't have a lot of size on the interior defensive line or at linebacker. They're just small. So we saw the game plan from the Ravens last week. It was just go a lot more heavy set personnel. Run the ball with Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson. Dallas couldn't stop it. So I have Devin Singletary. I think the last time I did my rankings, top 22 in my running back ranking. So I like him quite a bit. And you're obviously starting Malik. He's been just insane. He's averaging 12.3 targets per game with a 33% target share. That leads the NFL. Last 2 weeks, there's been 60 available targets for the New York Giants. He has 30 of them. Just insane what he's doing right now. He's unbelievable. And that's pretty much it for the Giants. I mean, Wandale Robinson, if you're in a pinch in a PPR league, his floor is okay, but there's really no ceiling with how he's utilized in the short areas. For the Cowboys, it's been a little bit of a slow start, but you're obviously starting CeeDee Lamb. Giants secondary is really banged up right now. So Lamb should have a nice game here. And we've seen wide receivers really do well against the Giants in two of the three games. Amari Cooper got back on track last week. And then Jefferson in week one. So Jake Ferguson, I think also with, you know, it's great to have him back. First game back, he runs a route on 74% of dropbacks, has 11 targets, catches 6 passes for 95 yards. He's a must-start, probably top 5 tight end with the way the position looks right now. And I don't really care what the Giants have done against tight ends this season, because they've faced Johnny Munt, Zach Ertz, and Jordan Akins. So they have not been tested at all. Let's move on to the Broncos at the Jets. Jets, I think, 7.5-point home favorites here. Fully expect Pat Surtain to shadow Garrett Wilson in this game, as Garrett Wilson just keeps running into really tough matchups, right? It was Christian Gonzalez last week. It was Charvarius Ward in week one. And then in week two, it was L'Jarius Sneed. So once again, a tough spot for Wilson. I actually have him as like my wide receiver 21. I'm probably still starting him if I have him, but like if you have a team where you have like Chris Godwin and Garrett Wilson and I don't know, Deontay Johnson, like I think I would bench Garrett Wilson in that scenario. I really would. And the targets have still been great, but we've seen Surtain, he shadowed Metcalf 96% of the time, Pickens 65% of the time, Evans like 70% of the time last week. I personally think, and this might be a hot take, but I think Patrick Surtain is the best defensive back in the NFL. I think he's better than Sauce. Now, is it fair because Sauce is an ass to shadow like Surtain is, and the Jets play a lot of zone, and they stay on one side? Probably not. I think Sauce could shadow plenty of receivers and do really well, but I don't know. I think Pat Surtain is on a different level. This makes it interesting, though, for Alan Lazard. I think we could see, once again, a game from Alan Lazard that's pretty usable. You look at the wide receivers that pretty much have not been against Surtain this year against the Broncos. Tyler Lockett, 6-for-77. Chris Godwin last week, 6-for-53 and a touchdown. And we know that the Broncos are going to blitz. They blitz at the highest rate in the NFL right now, 45.7%. Alan Lazard has 3 touchdowns this season. All 3 have come against the blitz. He has a 22.2% target share against the blitz. And then Aaron Rodgers against the blitz this year has been awesome. 18-for-25, 222 yards, 3 touchdowns. 8.9 yards per attempt is top 5. And he's 12th in EPA per dropback against the blitz. So I think this could be a game where we see like 4-for-48 and a touchdown from Alan Lazard again. It would not shock me at all. I also think Rodgers, pretty solid quarterback. He's pretty much always going to be in that QB2 range. But he's playing well right now. The mobility is solid. So if you had to start Rodgers, I think there's way worse options out there. Obviously, you're starting Breece Hall. Broncos run defense is where you want to attack them for sure. Breece is still getting a ton of work. I'd also think, if you're really desperate, you have a lot of injuries to the running back position. You lost Joe Mixon. Maybe Ken Walker doesn't play again. I think you could flex Braylon Allen because last week in a game where the Jets were always in control, they win 24-3. Braylon Allen had 14 opportunities in that game. Now, I think part of that was the fact that the Jets offense is pretty much always on the field in that game, so they got more plays. But at home, 7-point favorites, could see a similar scenario here. I don't think 14 is what you project for Braylon Allen, obviously, but 8-12? That's possible. So I don't think Braylon Allen is the worst flex play here. And then the Broncos, I'm pretty much avoiding everybody here. Sutton against a team that's been pretty much the best at limiting perimeter wide receivers since last year. The backfield's a mess now. Maybe Tyler Bidet gets more work. Javonte Williams split goal line carries and snaps with Jaleel McLaughlin last week. Fumbled. Hasn't looked good. Jets run defense is still vulnerable, but I don't want to start anybody in the Broncos. No thanks. All right, let's keep moving on to Cincinnati at Carolina. And this game is really fun for fantasy. First of all, you have the Bengals defense, which just awful. And we love that for fantasy. Cincinnati so far this season allowing the 4th most yards at 37.4, 3rd most points at almost 3, and the 2nd most plays at 7.3 per drive in the NFL. They can't get off the field, they can't get stops. So Deontay Johnson goes from like my 2nd favorite player to draft in the summer outside of Chris Godwin to holy crap, this is not going to work out. He's going to be a bust. You can't even start him. To a borderline top 15 receiver must start player. Just like that. That's what Andy Dalton did for Deontay Johnson and this Carolina offense. with Andy Dalton last week. Deontay goes for 8 catches, 122 yards and a touchdown on 14 targets. 12 of those targets were the first read. And he saw 4 end zone targets from Dalton in that game alone. And he now leads the NFL with 6 end zone targets on the season. 38% target share in that game. We've seen Rashee Rice and Terry McLaurin the past 2 weeks really produce against the Bengals. So yeah, Deontay Johnson, must-start player. And we saw the offense change. Like, they went 66, I believe it was, percent neutral script pass rate last week. And Andy Dalton had 28 pass attempts on quick-release throws. So they were making an effort to get the ball out of his hands quickly, and it worked. And I know it was against the Raiders, but this defense is probably worse than the Raiders in Cincinnati. Chuba Hubbard, also a borderline must-start player. 26 touches for 169 yards and a touchdown last week. The Bengals have already allowed 4 rushing touchdowns in the season. They were a little bit better in terms of, like, between the tackles stopping the run last week, but they're still missing potentially multiple defensive tackles. Hubbard's incredibly involved, so you have to like him. And I think Andy Dalton's a viable streaming option too. Like, it's a combination of having so much more faith in Carolina's offense now and the fact that the Bengals' defense is just that bad. They're awful. On the Bengals' side of things, you're starting Ja'Marr Chase. T. Higgins, I think, is still a really solid play. Like, he didn't have the production you wanted in his first game back, but he still ran plenty of routes and played plenty of snaps. Wasn't limited. Had 2 end zone targets in this game. Should have had a touchdown. There was a play back of the end zone where he was open. Joe Burrow threw it a little bit too high, so it made it difficult for T to get down in bounds. And then later on in the game, back shoulder fade. Couldn't hold on to it, but I'm still pretty happy with what I saw from T. Zach Moss, great play here. Yes, Chase Brown looks more explosive, sure. But I think Zach Moss has looked fine. And he's still getting the majority of the work. 75% of the snaps, about 14 touches per game. But I think he can flirt with 20 in this one. He had 17 opportunities last week. He has all 4 goal line carries, and he's played 78% of the snaps when the team is inside the 5-yard line. Panthers allowing the most EPA per rushing attempt in the NFL this season. And strictly out of shotgun, because we know that's what the Bengals want to do when they run the football. And it's what Zach Moss has been pretty good at, right? Strictly out of the shotgun this season, the Bengals allowing an 18.9% explosive run rate, which is the 4th worst in the NFL. And 3.3 yards before contact per attempt is 5th worst. Right now, 70% of Zach Moss's runs have come out of the shotgun, so I love this spot for Zach Moss. And he's plenty involved in the passing game, too. Joe Burrow, by the way, also a top 10 quarterback. Looked a lot better last week. That's what Washington will help you do, but you get T back, Chase looks better. Yoshi Voss is playing well. So, if Joe Burrow's been your only quarterback, you know, it was a rough start a little bit, but I think you can feel pretty good about him. Eagles at Tampa Bay up next, and this one's kind of tough to break down right now because we don't know who's going to be out there for the Eagles, right? Devonta Smith, Lane Johnson, both in concussion protocol. A.J. Brown's missed the last couple games with the hamstring, I believe it is. They have a week 5 bye. So I think A.J. Brown is like 85% chance he sits once again. I think with Lane and Devonta, it's pretty simple. If they clear the protocol, they'll play. And obviously, if they don't, they won't. Like, I don't think they'll rest them regardless. Like, I think if they can clear the protocol, they're good to go and they'll play. So if Smitty can clear it in time and play, he's a must-start top 10 receiver. Last 2 weeks with A.J. Brown sidelined, Devonta Smith has been targeted on 28% of his routes. He is playing outside more because A.J. Brown's been out. It was like 60% slot in week 1, and it's been under 40% the last couple weeks, but hasn't really slowed him down. He's been great. If he doesn't play, though, I mean, we're going to see plenty of work again for Dallas Goedert, who went crazy last week. And also, real quick on Smitty, the Bucs, second highest blitz rate in the NFL. Devonta Smith, 34.5% target share against the blitz this season. So yeah. Must start, obviously, if he plays. We'll keep an eye on his status the rest of the week. I don't think A.J. Brown plays. They have a bye in week 5. Just seems logical for them to let him sit one more week. Dallas Goedert, you're starting him. Doesn't really matter who plays. You're just like, the tight end position's that bad. And yes, this will be Goddard's best game by far of the season. But especially if Devonta Smith's out, like, where else are they throwing the football? Because Jahan Dotson's done nothing. I mean, they'll be looking at wide receiver sets if Devonta Smith's out, they'll be looking at wide receiver sets of Johnny Wilson, Paris Campbell, and Jahan Dotson. Like, that is just not it. And it makes me really worried about Jalen Hurts if those guys are out, especially if Lane's out too. So I'm trying to think if there's like would I stream Darnold or Dalton over Jalen Hurts if these guys are out? I might. It's very concerning. So we'll have to keep an eye on the Eagles for sure. Saquon obviously is starting, especially if the matchup is definitely better for him if the Bucs are still without Vita Vea and Kalijah Kansi in the middle of that defensive line. But for the rest of the Eagles, we have to wait and see. For Tampa, I think this is a bounce back spot for Mike Evans. Todd Bowles talked about they have to get him more involved. He's been very, very quiet the last 2 weeks, but great spot for him here. I mean, look at the wide receiver ones, and you can debate if Godwin or Evans is the quote wide receiver one of this team, but you look at the wide receiver ones to face Eagles this season. Week 1, Jaden Reed finished as the wide receiver one in fantasy. And then in week 2, Drake London, wide receiver 19. And just this past weekend, Chris Olave, wide receiver 10. So, love the matchup. I don't think any of these defensive backs can slow Mike Evans down. I think we get back on track today, or this week rather. Obviously, Godwin, must start, scored a touchdown in all 3 games. Back in the slot like 60 to 65% of the time, where he's just more efficient, he's a better player, he's more productive. Finally, the backfield, I would try to avoid it if possible. Rashad White's been terrible. They're talking about getting Bucky Irving more involved and more snaps, which just could make this a 50-50 split, which is the last thing we want for fantasy. Rashad White can always, you know, make his day in the passing game. But I'm pretty worried if I have Rashad White right now. And with Bucky, like, you could probably flex him. I would like to if I have better options. I'd like to wait 1 week and see what the usage looks like this week. But, I mean, he probably gets 8 to 12 touches, so. All right, we will take a break. When we come back, breaking down more of the games. Can Jacksonville get on track on the road against Houston? Probably not. The Colts, they host the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are 3-0. What will that look like? And will we see a massive workload from Najee Harris? All that and more here on the podcast. We'll be right back. The 0-3 train wreck Jaguars now go to Houston to take on the Texans, and it's been brutal. Jacksonville playing man coverage at the highest rate in the NFL this season, well over 50% of the time, which is weird because they're missing their top defensive back. And we saw what happened last week against Buffalo. They just couldn't do anything. So the most man-heavy team in the NFL, and you have Nico Collins, who right now is fifth in the NFL with a 32.6% target share against man coverage, 3.3 yards per out run. And then Stephon Diggs so far this season, he's second in the NFL in EPA per target against man coverage with a 60% open separation rate. So love both receivers. Collins will see coverage from Monterick Brown, who is allowing 0.41 fantasy points per coverage snap this season. So smash, massive blow-up spot for Collins. And we'll see on Tank Dell. Like, he's been frustrating. He's a little bit banged up. They're calling him day-to-day. He's going to have a week eventually. Like, he's not playing in 2 wide receiver sets, but, like, when he's out there, he's running routes, and that's all you can ask for. He's still pretty comfortably behind Diggs and Collins in targets, but I still think a game is coming from him. So he's a bit of a boom bust wide receiver three if he plays. And I'm probably going to avoid the backfield. Joe Mixon's probably not going to play. He's still week to week, but Damian Pierce could be back. Maybe that doesn't impact Akers at all. Maybe he still starts and everything. And last week is a tough game to kind of, like, they were down early and by a lot. And Dari Ogunbowale played, like, all the two-minute drill snaps. So, like, I don't know. There's a chance Akers is still a flex play, but I don't love this backfield because you're not getting third down snaps. And if Damian Pierce even plays a little bit, it cuts into it. Jacksonville, man. You're probably still starting ETN. Other than that, though, like, the red zone and third down woes continue for this offense. Trevor Lawrence looks bad. The play calling's bad. They're just taking shots down the field. Lawrence is missing throws. And I guess Brian Thomas Jr. is a boom-bust flex because he does on film look good. He looks great. Basically, you're just hoping. You're just hoping they find some sort of answers on offense right now. Because it's been absolutely terrible. Awful. All right, let's move on to the Steelers at the Colts in Indianapolis. Obviously, that's what at means. Jalen Warren's probably not going to play in this game. He's banged up again. So we know Arthur Smith's going to get Cordarrelle Patterson involved. But I wonder if we see more third down snaps from Najee Harris. Because Warren's played like 65% of the third downs this season. Harris, especially with Cordarrelle Patterson there, he's barely played on third down this season. That can unlock some more upside from him and a higher floor. I mean, Harris is already averaging 20.7 touches per game. But he's only playing around like 10% of the third downs. So I think 20 touches is probably a lock for Harris here. The Colts have been a pretty favorable run defense, especially without DeForest Buckner. Last week wasn't really the case, but the Bears can't run on anybody right now, so I don't really care. And then we saw the first 2 weeks, they got absolutely destroyed on the ground. So I like Harris quite a bit here. I'm sure we'll see some annoying Cordarrelle Patterson usage, but I think he's a really, really, really rock-solid running back too. And then this is probably your last chance to buy low on George Pickens. I've talked about trading for him for a couple weeks now. I just think on tape, he looks awesome. His open separation rate from last year is up by about 10%. So he looks better. Great matchup here against the Colts, who have been terrible. Fourth most fantasy points per game allowed to wide receivers. Third most yards allowed off go routes. So that's good for George Pickens. And they play a lot of cover three. Pickens, 24% target share against cover three. He's like 3 yards per out run. So I love this spot for Pickens. We saw what Rome Odunze did against him last week. So this is probably your last chance before this week to trade for George Pickens while you can. And then Freiermuth, fine tight end. He's probably going to be right around the tight end 12. And that'll pretty much do it for the Steelers. I think Fields as a streaming quarterback is okay. Just hasn't been a huge ceiling. But he's doing enough. He's playing well. For the Colts, it's honestly like, you have to be a little bit worried about Anthony Richardson with how he's playing and now facing the Steelers defense. He's not scrambling as much. And then he's taking a ton of shots down the field, right? He's top five in percentage of passes, 20-plus yards down the field. But the RPOs in this offense have gone away, which is why I'm taking the L on Michael Pittman. Like last year, he had 54% of the Colts' RPO targets. They ran RPOs at the highest rate in the NFL. But this year, like, those RPO targets aren't there. And they're, like, so valuable because he's the first and only read on those plays. And they're gone. They're not part of the offense right now. So I'm avoiding Pittman if possible. Josh Downs, I'm fine with him as a stash. He came back last week. A.D. Mitchell only played 11% of the snaps with Downs back, so that was brutal. And then obviously starting Jonathan Taylor, who's getting as massive as a workload as anybody. 79% snap share. He's handled 70% of the rushing attempts, and he has almost 50% of the Colts' overall touches. It's the highest rate in the NFL. So tough matchup, but you're obviously starting. Jonathan Taylor. Rams at Bears up next. The efficiency hasn't quite been there, but Kyren Williams is getting it done. 3 touchdowns last week. He now leads the NFL with 8 goal line carries this season. He's handled 78% of the Rams' total carries. 78%. Blake Corum has not been a factor on offense at all. It's been all Kyren Williams. And I think he's probably done returning punts. So if that's what you're really worried about, you have that too. Tough matchup against the Bears. I know Taylor just had a great game against them, but this has been, since the second half of last season, probably a top 3 run defense in the NFL. But I mean, what do you have, 26 touches last week without those wide receivers? So, speaking of, you don't love the matchup, but I think Tutu Atwell is kind of interesting here. Last week, he ran a route on 80% of dropbacks. He had 5 targets, but he saw a lot of the scheme stuff, right? Not to the same level of Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua. But like DeMarcus Robinson, he hardly left the field. He got targets. But the pre-snap motion, schemed layup stuff, explosive play stuff, that went to Tutu Atwell. 3 of his 5 targets came in pre-snap motion. I don't think here in week 4 with no teams on bye, I want to start Tutu Atwell in a 12-team league unless I really am desperate. But I think he's a very sneaky, underrated waiver wire add and DFS play potentially as a value play. Because we saw him be productive last season before Robinson took over as a wide receiver 3. If you're looking for a tight end, Kobe Parkinson. First of all, the Rams went way more 12 personnel last week. We know this team is always, you know, 90%+ 11, but they went more 2 tight end sets last week, and Kobe Parkinson literally played every single snap. He didn't leave the field. I think he also had 5 targets. So, look, if you're streaming tight end, you're always looking for one thing, and that's routes, and he'll be out there. For the Bears, Keenan Allen could return with the heel. He practiced on Wednesday in limited fashion. This is such a good spot for Rome Odunze, though, if Keenan Allen doesn't play. We've seen wide receivers. I mean, Juwan Jennings, Jamison Williams, Marvin Harrison Jr., they've all absolutely destroyed the Rams. Rome Odunze, like, I think you should have interest regardless if Keenan Allen plays. They've allowed 2 touchdowns already off go routes. 9 yards per pass play allowed is the worst in the NFL. 8 completions of 20-plus yards, the most in the NFL. And 4 touchdown passes of 20-plus yards. The explosive plays in the passing game have been destroying the Rams. And then you have Rome Odunze. He has 5 targets off go routes on the season. And he's averaging about 110 air yards per game, the 6th most in the NFL. So I think Rome's an awesome play if Keenan Allen's out one more week. I still think he's a high upside, boom, bust, flex play with a lot of potential if Allen's back. And like he literally played every snap but one and ran every route but one last week. So he's completely recovered from that MCL sprain. So that's good to see too. Cole Kmet's pretty interesting too because last 2 weeks he's been way more involved. 70% snaps, 70%+ routes. A lot of targets. I don't think it's just because Keenan Allen's been out, because it's not like the Bears have suddenly been playing a lot more, you know, 2 tight end sets in his absence. He's just playing more than Gerald Everett finally. So I think that makes him a top 12 tight end going forward. And again, this is coming from somebody who was out on Cole Kmet in the offseason, but things change and they're finally using him more than Gerald Everett. So we have to adjust. Other than that, I mean, DJ Moore, you're still starting. It's been a little bit frustrating. But again, this matchup is just so good for wide receivers. I don't know how you bench him. I think they'll just about do it. Moving on. Green Bay at home against Minnesota. We could see Jordan Love back. Probably does happen. Obviously, you're starting Jefferson. Aaron Jones, must start. Revenge game, he's been awesome. He's top five in both goal line carries and targets inside the 10-yard line. Maybe some of the pass game usage comes down a little bit with Jordan Addison likely back, but he's been amazing. Efficiency-wise, breaking off a ton of 10-plus yard runs. He's been awesome. And Green Bay's run defense is one we can attack. Darnold's been great. Right up there in terms of VPA per dropback. He's probably a top 15-ish quarterback for rankings with the way he's playing, getting some help back with Addison. And for Green Bay, Josh Jacobs, a little bit frustrating the last couple weeks. Hasn't scored yet, but the volume should be there. The offense should be fine. It's a tough matchup. The Vikings' run defense is awesome. Brian Flores is doing an unbelievable job with this defense, but you're not benching Josh Jacobs. And I like Jaden Reed. He's been really efficient. The utilization has been good. They'll probably throw more if Jordan Love's back. So Jaden Reed's a top 30 receiver for me. And then everybody else is just really risky. Romeo Doubs, Christian Watson, etc. And the tight ends. It's a pretty easy game, though. This game could be really fun, too, if we get Jordan Love back. Saints and Falcons. I think this game could be really, really slow. I think both teams want to run the football. I think we could have limited possessions here. We'll keep an eye on Alvin Kamara. Didn't practice Wednesday. I would guess probably just, veteran type of rest day. You're obviously starting him. You're starting Bijan. Olave, you're starting. Don't love the matchup for him, but you're still starting him. Drake London's been great the last couple weeks. Tough matchup against Marshawn Lattimore, but they've kind of used him in more creative ways. He's been good after the catch. Kyle Pitts, we know what he is. He's a boom-bust tight end. I'm trying to think if there's anybody. Like Mooney, wide receiver 3/flex. He's the wide receiver 2. He's the second target in this offense right now. He's over Kyle Pitts. That's just a fact. It's just how it is right now. Same with Shahid. He's a boom-bust wide receiver 3. Was really close to a great game again. Couple deep end zone targets that went out of his hands, but still out there a ton. I don't love this game, though. I think it'd be like 19 to 14 or something like that. All right, let's move on to the 4 o'clock games. We have Washington at Arizona. This game could be awesome for fantasy, right? Commanders' defense is brutal. Really, really bad. They're allowing the most yards, most points, and most plays per drive. So Kyler looked like he was going to have a great game last week. Slowed down. Arizona couldn't stop the Lions' run game, so the Cardinals' offense wasn't on the field a ton, but obvious massive bounce-back spot for him here. Trey McBride in the concussion protocol. He might not play, so that doesn't help, but Marvin Harrison, Michael Wilson, Greg Dortch, the running backs should be enough for him in this matchup. Speaking of Marvin Harrison, we just know this is the best overall matchup in all fantasy football. Wide receiver 1s against the Commanders. They're allowing over 100 yards per game to opposing wide receiver 1s this year after allowing 105 per game last year. Evans, 5 for 61 and 2. Malik, 10 for 127 and a touchdown. Chase, 6 for 118 and 2. Marvin Harrison Jr. also leads the NFL with 8 targets off go routes. The Commanders have already allowed 3 touchdowns off go routes this season. Smashbot, you're starting him. And I think if Trey McBride's out, you could talk me into Michael Wilson or Greg Dortch because the matchup's just that good. James Conner, this is also a great bounce back spot for him. Predictably was bad against the Lions because the run defense is elite. But 19.4% actually of the carries against the Commanders have gained 10 plus yards this season. That's the second highest rate in the NFL. Must start player, James Conner. For the Commanders, you're obviously starting Jaden Daniels, who was just unbelievable last Monday. Just did everything right. Finally showcased that amazing deep ball multiple times. He just looks super legit. We're not worried about the Cardinals offense or the Cardinals pass rush. This is going to be a fast-paced game. Love it. He's amazing. I asked the question on the last podcast. Like, I would rank quarterbacks for the rest of the season, Josh 1, Lamar 2. You could make the case that Jaden Daniels is third rest of the season. You could make the case that probably 6-7 quarterbacks could be third, right? Jaden Daniels, Jalen Hurts, CJ Stroud, Patrick Mahomes. A lot of guys. But I think Jaden's in that discussion. 100%. Austin Eckler has already been ruled out for this game with a concussion. So Brian Robinson Jr., absolute must-start player. It's not the same situation, right? It's different coaching staff, etc. But look at since Brian Robinson's entered the NFL. Remember, he obviously shared work at times with Antonio Gibson. He's played 2 games since joining the league without Antonio Gibson active. In those games, Brian Robinson Jr. is averaging 24 touches, 20.5 carries, 5 targets per game. Again, it's not the same exact situation, but could we see similar usage this week? Uptick in pass game usage? Must-start player. We saw what the Lions run game did against this team last week. And then Terry McLaurin, I'm not ready to say he's just immediately back to a must-start wide receiver 2. I still have him closer to like a high-end wide receiver 3. But you love to see he moved around the formation a little bit more. And the deep ball was there with Jaden Daniels, which I expected it to be, but it was great to see. I also think you could do worse than Zach Ertz at tight end. Running a ton of routes, he's getting like 5-6 targets a week. So San Fran at home against the Patriots. This game's pretty easy too. If Kittle's back, I'm starting him. If he's out, Juwan Jennings is still a top 30-ish wide receiver. Don't expect what he did last week, but you know, if Christian Gonzalez shadows Brandon Ayuk and Ayuk once again struggles, we could see 8-10 targets from Juwan Jennings if Kittle's out. I expect Debo to be out again. So we'll keep an eye on Kittle. Jordan Mason is, you know, lead the NFL in carries. He's going to get 20 plus per game, especially as a huge home favorite. Patriots run defense has been good, but they gave up plenty of production to the Jets running backs last week, and Mason's just going to get so many opportunities here as a huge home favorite. So must start running back. Obviously, he's in the top 6 as he should be. And then Brock Purdy. Look, even against the Rams, I was a little bit worried about what he would look like without Kittle, Debo, and McCaffrey. Brock Purdy played awesome last week. Awesome. Scrambled a little bit more too. So Patriots, I know Rodgers just tore them up, but Purdy's on that QB1, QB2 borderline for me this week. Probably closer to a back-end quarterback 1. And then for the Patriots, you're starting Ramondre Stevenson just based off volume, and that is it. I have no interest in anybody else. Just the offensive line is awful right now. There's just no time. And I'm tempering expectations for Ramondre. I'm not expecting a huge game, but it's hard to bench somebody that's going to get 18 to 20 opportunities. Cleveland at the Raiders. Keep an eye on Jerome Ford here because missed practice on Wednesday, but he went back to being 75 to 80% of the snaps and opportunities last week. After week 2, Dante Foreman started and got more work than him. So I don't know if that was a 1 week kind of matchup based thing, but it was good to see Ford get back to that awesome role. The matchup's great. We saw what Chuba Hubbard just did against him. Running backs have destroyed the Raiders. Hubbard in week 3, Henry in week 2, and then in week 1, it was, who was in week 1? Did they play in week 1? Oh, I think it was Dobbins. So they've been really bad against the run for sure. Amari Cooper, nice bounce back game from him. He's still kind of in that Terry McLaurin range for me, probably a tad bit higher. You know, low end wide receiver 2. And tight ends, doesn't look like Njoku will be back, so you're probably not going to the tight ends here. For the Raiders, Zamir White couldn't do it last week. You're not starting anybody from the Raiders backfield. Adams, you're hoping the quarterback play is good enough for him. Tough matchup, but it's hard to bench him, and you're starting Brock Bowers. Chiefs and Chargers. I'm worried about J.K. Dobbins here. Herbert sounds like he's going to try to play, but again, this is a team that also has a week 5 bye. Let that ankle fully heal, especially because I think Joe Alt and Rashawn Slater are probably out for this game. Joe Alt's definitely out. I'm not sure about Slater, but if you have a banged up Justin Herbert without his starting two pretty much perennial Pro Bowl tackles against the Chiefs pass rush, that's not where I want to put him if he's not 100%. And that's going to hurt the entire offense. So Dobbins, it's tough after how good he's been two of the first 3 weeks, but if I could bench him, I probably would. And that's still saying, like, I feel good about Dobbins because he took even more of the backfield last week. He handled over 80% of the opportunities. Gus Edwards wasn't even part of the equation. I think Dobbins had 17, 18 touches. So, you know, especially, you know, if Herbert's 100% healthy, they're still going to run the ball as much as anybody. But with him hurt and maybe even out for this game, the equation is not going to change. So the opportunity should be there. But, like, I feel like the Chiefs could just stack the box here, force a banged up Herbert, or even worse, you know, Taylor Heineke to beat them. So I am really low on Dobbins this week compared to, you know, where he's been the first 3 weeks of the season. Quentin Johnson keeps scoring, but, like, do you really have faith in anybody from the Chargers wide receivers right now, especially with Herbert? And I if he keeps scoring, cool, but I have no faith starting anybody. For the Chiefs, you're starting Rashee Rice. You're still starting Kelce. I think he's going to have one of these 6-for-70 and 2-touchdown games very, very soon. Could be this week, especially because the Chargers without Derwin James. And the Chargers in the past have really done a good job against Kelce. Not done a good job, but they've tried to do a good job by putting Derwin James on Travis Kelce. And he's not there for this game. He's suspended. I think Bosa's hurt. So it's a good spot for Kelce to finally get on track. The backfield? I mean, Carson Steele got 19 opportunities last week. Got all the goal line work. Samaje Perine obviously played with the majority of the third downs. There is a potential of Kareem Hunt here, though. He was elevated to the active roster. So it's something to keep an eye on, but I think Carson Steele is a high-end running back three. They're favorites here, obviously, so. But it's definitely something to keep an eye on. That's something I'll be watching this game if Kareem Hunt's active. All right, three games left. We have Sunday Night Football, Bills at Ravens. Can't wait for this one. The Ravens went into last week's game with an obvious plan, right? They said, you know what? We are going to run the football against Dallas. We're going to go in these heavy sets, and Dallas isn't going to have the size or physicality to beat us. And it worked. I mean, Derrick Henry went crazy. They're obviously going to try to do that again here. The Bills are still a vulnerable run defense. 17.1% of the runs against them have gained 10-plus yards, third highest rate in the NFL. They're also allowing the second most yards before contact per attempt at 2.5. They play as much too high safety looks as anybody, so that kind of invites teams to run the football. So Derrick Henry looked great last week. Obvious must-start player. And the Bills, like, they're a team that plays so many defensive packages with so many defensive backs on the field. So, and they don't change that. They don't adjust. They just say, you know what? This is our base defense. We'll rely on the interior defensive line to make plays to stop the run. So when Derrick Henry gets the second level in this game, there's going to be opportunities for him to just keep going because you're going to have safeties and DBs coming up to stop him. I think this could be a good game for Mark Andrews too. Finally, like, 6 routes last week was super frustrating, but it was a game plan thing, right? They wanted more blocking out there. The Bills will push them more than Dallas did, obviously. Maybe they get out to a lead. The Bills are also a team that gives up a ton of production to the slot. With Rasul Douglas and Christian Benford on the outside, they've been great at limiting explosive pass plays and perimeter wide receivers. But, you know, to slot receivers, Bills, bottom 5 or top 5 in receptions allowed, however you want to look at it. Andrews is in the slot about 68% of the time. It's not really Zay Flowers. Like, Zay Flowers is only in the slot about 33% of the time. So, and especially if they're without Taron Johnson again, like, the middle of the field is where you want to attack the Bills. Baylen Spector, Dorian Williams at linebacker, they've been solid against the run. There's still question marks about what they can do in pass coverage. So, I am of the belief that we finally see the bounce back games from Mark Andrews this week, from Travis Kelce. I like Andrews in this game a lot. And I like Zay Flowers too. The Bills, look, I watch this team every week. I know this team like the back of my hand. For over 2 years now, they've struggled to defend screen passes. This year, 10 yards after the catch per reception to screens. Last year was 10.1, so nothing's really changed. They give up a lot of plays and a lot of explosive plays on screens. Zay Flowers, we know it's a huge part of this offense. 8 targets off screens this season, most in the NFL. So I like Zay Flowers a lot. I like Andrews starting them. You're obviously starting Lamar, and you're starting Derrick Henry. For the Bills, Josh Allen's the best player in the league. You're starting him. James Cook, really tough matchup for him, but I'm not benching him. He's now played 10 regular season games with Joe Brady as the team's OC. So 10 regular season games. He's finished as a top 12 fantasy running back 6 of those games, and he's averaging just under 18 fantasy points per game. Getting more short yardage work, goal line usage, scoring touchdowns. The Ravens' run defense is awesome, but... And we've also seen back-to-back games where the game got so out of hand. Like, the close game the Bills played this year, James Cook had, what, 22 touches? Or 22 opportunities? So, pass game usage should still be there. Not benching James Cook. Dalton Kincaid, good to see him get back on track. We've seen the Ravens give a production of tight ends lately. 9 for 98 to Bowers, and then last week, 6 for 95 to Jake Ferguson. So I'm still starting Kincaid. And Khalil Shakir has kind of been elevated to a wide receiver 3 with his usage, his pre-snap motion. He catches everything. He's great after the catch. Not an easy matchup, but pretty obvious who you're starting at wide receiver from anybody from the Bills. It's Khalil Shakir. Once again, we have 2 games on Monday night. We'll break those both down as we wrap up the podcast. In a minute, we'll take one final break. When we get back, we'll break down the 2 Monday night games as we close out the Week 4 preview podcast. Lions hosting Seattle on Monday night. We'll see if Ken Walker plays. Very possibly does. Of course, with it being a Monday night game, it could be a headache. If he somehow gets ruled out again, Zach Charbonnet is a volume-based running back too. He's averaging like 20 touches per game in his 4 starts for Ken Walker since last year. But this matchup is so bad. I looked back, and the Lions haven't allowed a running back to reach 70 rushing yards against them in 20 consecutive games. Regular season games dating back to last year. 20 straight. They added DJ Reader to this defensive line. They are so good against the run. And we've seen Charbonnet, when he's had bad matchups, he's averaging like 3 yards per carry if you're lucky. But the volume is going to be there, so we'll keep an eye on that. DK Metcalf starting him. Great spot for JSN, too. The Lions have been really bad against the slot. JSN, 85% of the time he's in the slot this season. We've seen Cooper Kupp destroy them out of the slot. Chris Godwin out of the slot. That's where you want to target and attack this Lions team. So I like JSN quite a bit here. And Tyler Lockett remains a boom-bust flex slash wide receiver 3. And I like Geno a lot, too. Should be a pretty high-scoring game. Geno's played awesome this season. Ryan Grubb's been more aggressive with neutral script pass rate, motion, pace, all that stuff we want for fantasy. So I have Geno as a top 10 quarterback this week. I like him quite a bit. And these games the last couple of years between the Seahawks and Lions have been high-scoring, fast-paced, and pretty fun. For Detroit, you're starting the running backs. They've been unbelievable, especially David Montgomery. You're starting Amon-Ra St. Brown. Laporta's got this low ankle sprain. He's probably going to play. It's been frustrating, but I don't see how you're picking up somebody off waivers and starting them comfortably over Sam Laporta right now. So you're starting the Lions, and I think J-Mo's still in that kind of Rashid Shaheed boom-bust wide receiver 3 range. Came back down to earth last week. But yeah, you're pretty much starting most people from this game. Finally, Titans and Dolphins. I think this is a good bounce back spot for Tony Pollard. I know the Titans offense did pretty much nothing last week against Green Bay. But they should be able to stay on the field more in this one. We saw what the Dolphins offense looked like last week. They're getting destroyed by running backs. Charbonnet, over 100 total yards and 2 touchdowns last week. We saw what James Cook did against him in week 2. Week 1, Etienne and Tank Bigsby were both pretty solid, so... It's a really good matchup for Tony Pollard. I like him as a bounce back this week. And then I mean, he'll probably see Ramsey in this game because he was shadowed by Jair Alexander last week. Hopkins had a good game, but he's still not playing a full allotment of snaps, so I'm not trusting him. Definitely not trusting Will Levis in any sort of capacity. It's, you know, Ridley's a boom-bust wide receiver 3, and I like Pollard as a top 18-ish running back in a good matchup. I expect him to get back on track this week. And then for the Dolphins, man, like, you're still starting Devon Achane. We'll see if Mostert plays. It could, you know, impact his touches a little bit. But right now, this offense kind of has to go through Devon Achane. I think we could see Tyler Huntley start a quarterback, which will be better for this offense for sure. I personally, unless you're loaded at wide receiver, like I'm talking Godwin, Rashee Rice, you got late, right? Like, unless you're that kind of loaded at wide receiver, I don't have the stones to bench Tyreek Hill, despite how disappointing it's been the last couple weeks. I just can't do it. Tough matchup against L'Jarius Sneed and company. I just can't bench him. Jalen Waddle I can bench. The difference is Tyreek still gets those scheme touches and pre-snap motion and everything. Waddle's more so relying on those post routes. I'll bench Jalen Waddle if I have to. Tyreek Hill, I'm not ready to do it unless I have like Rashee Rice, Chris Godwin, etc. Wide receivers that you could get middle to late rounds of drafts that have broken out. Like maybe if you have Godwin, Rashee Rice, and Deontay Johnson, like maybe that's a realistic possibility where you say, you know what, I feel like I have to bench Tyreek Hill here. And even then, it still worries the hell out of me. So, we'll see. We'll see you start the quarterback for the Dolphins. It sounds like it could be Tyler Huntley. Anything's better than what we saw from Skylar Thompson last week. Brutal. But that will do it for week 4. Previewing every single game here from a fantasy football perspective. Love doing it. Appreciate everybody listening as always. Check out the content, ftnfantasy.com. Tools, rankings, articles, projections, cheat sheets, stats, data. Everything. The DFS side of things has been great lately, too. We have a lot of subs taking down a lot of contests, so that's been really fun to see. We have basketball starting up soon, too. I'm excited. It's a great time to be a sports fan and a great time to be part of FTNFantasy.com. Best of luck in week 4. Starts tonight, Giants and Cowboys. We'll see what happens. We'll talk to you on Friday to close out the week with some trade talk here on the podcast. Thanks for listening. As always, best of luck. My name is Adam. We'll talk to you guys on Friday. Peace out.